It's 7:45. I'm Anthony Morneau with KRWG News. Republican candidate for governor Steve Pearce suggested Thursday giving child protection authorities greater powers to keep children in custody while investigating allegations of abuse and neglect. At a news conference outside the Children, Youth, and Families Department office in Albuquerque, Pearce announced his support for raising salaries at the agency and greater discipline against officials who fail to properly investigate initial signs of familial child abuse. Democratic gubernatorial candidate and Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham also is campaigning on efforts to curb household child abuse. Lujan Grisham has highlighted her support for programs aimed at improving parenting skills in households that may be prone to abusive behavior. Changes are on the way at New Mexico's Department of Motor Vehicles. Marisa DeMarco explains.
New Mexico's struggled for years with how to handle real ID and created a two-tiered system where people have an option for an alternative license or identification card, too. A legal settlement will force the Motor Vehicle Division to accept more types of documentation for people who opt out of real ID. In 2016, New Mexico started issuing Real ID compliant cards, the kind that will be required to get on a plane in a couple of years. But the legislature also passed a law that year saying folks could instead choose an alternative driver's license or identification card that would still be valid in the state. Nessa Leal with Somos Un Pueblo Unido says MVD was demanding more documentation for these cards than the law laid out.
The last thing that any New Mexican wants to worry about is having to navigate a really difficult and painful process to be able to get a driver's license or an ID card.
Several advocacy groups representing immigrants, people experiencing homelessness, and people with low incomes sued the state in January. Under this settlement, people will only have to prove their identity, age, and residency in New Mexico for that alternate ID. MVD will also have to notify people in writing when their application for a card is denied and outline what they need to do to fix it. For KUNM, I'm Marisa DeMarco.
Tomorrow is the 100th anniversary of Leonard Bernstein's birth. The legendary composer and conductor was a family friend of KRWG's Leora Zeitlund, and in this essay, she shares with us some memories she has of Bernstein growing up.
When I was a child, growing up in Manhattan in the 1960s, my mom took me to all the Young People's Concerts at the New York Philharmonic, where Leonard Bernstein would move between the podium and his piano, chatting with the audience, asking questions, telling stories, and all the while elucidating the excitement and meaning of music. My strongest memories of those afternoons, though, are not what happened on stage, but what happened backstage. My parents were friends with Bernstein, so we would always go back afterwards to congratulate and thank him. I was terribly shy, trying desperately to hide behind my mother's dress. But Bernstein always greeted me the same way. He bent down, smiled at me, picked up my hand, and kissed it. This small gesture of chivalry and kindness to a shy child moved me even then. It made me feel special and seen. Everyone knows that Lenny was brilliant, flamboyant, effusive, and generous in his teaching and his music. But as the world celebrates the centennial of his birth this week, I want also to remember him as a deeply kind man with a warm and open heart. In December 1965, when I was 9, the backstage greeting turned into something more. I was asked to participate in some promotional pictures for the Young People's Concerts. Two boys and another girl and I were taken up an elevator and brought into a room with a piano where Bernstein was seated. The one picture I have of the event, now quite faded, shows him smiling and talking to us. A week later, I was sent a check for $5, my first paycheck, with a letter thanking my mother for allowing me to participate. We left New York when I was 11, and it would be many years before I saw Bernstein again, but I would hear about him frequently from my parents. My father, the violinist Zvi Zeitlund, had met Bernstein in 1947 in Israel when they were both in their 20s. Over the years, Bernstein engaged and re-engaged my father to perform with him and the New York Phil, and my dad later wrote that of all the great conductors he performed with, quote, Lenny was the most inspiring and unforgettable. He was sincerity personified. In 1987, more than 20 years after that photo op with Bernstein, I saw him again in Boston. The event was at Pine Manor College, which was conferring an honorary doctorate to Helen Coates, his early piano teacher and lifelong secretary. Helen was one of my mother's dearest friends, so we went and Bernstein gave the speech to honor Helen. Afterwards, we went back to greet them. I hadn't seen Bernstein since childhood, and I told him how I cherished my memories of him kissing my hand backstage. Well, you can guess what happened next. Lenny bowed slightly, took my hand, and kissed it again, for what would be the last time.
You can listen to even more memories, along with photos from Leora Zeitlin remembering Leonard Bernstein, at our website, krwg.org.